So timely. It's been such a healing weekend with the healing mission over the past couple of days, and then the wonderful offertory gradual hymn today, I should say, and then finally the lesson today in the gospel. You know, as you think about that scene of Jesus and the disciples, isn't it so much like him that he says to his disciples, you know what, you're exhausted, it's been a busy day, let's go away to a deserted place so we can have a little bit of R&R. And lo and behold, when they arrive to the deserted place, guess what? There's a crowd waiting there to greet them because they figured out where they were going. And it's interesting what Jesus' response is. He doesn't run for the hills and try to avoid them. He doesn't say, what are you doing here, and gets upset and angry at them. But it says in the scripture that he had compassion on them. And he reached out to them, and he taught them many things, and he also brought healing to them. You know, when they heard he was in the region, they brought people from all over the place. And as you heard the story today, as many as touched him were healed. And it's a wonderful story for you and I to get a picture of the heart of Jesus. And as I continue to share and reflect with you on Paul's letter to the Colossians, one of the things that will be brought home to us today is the reality of how the heart of Jesus really does reflect the heart of God, and how powerful that is, and how important it is for you and I to be open to that. And one of the ways in which Jesus reflects the heart of God is in Paul's encouragement to the Colossians and encouragement to you and I as well to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. That the freedom that we have in him is unique, and that's important for you and I to be rooted in that in a very deep and powerful way. That word rootedness brought to mind for me my last day at Yosemite with my son Joey. We had a father and son trip a number of years ago and went to Yosemite National Park. Such a beautiful, beautiful place in our world and in our country. If you've ever had a chance to be there, you know what I'm talking about. And on our last day, we went through the Sequoia National Redwood Forest there, and the trees were just incredible, beautiful. You know, a picture doesn't do it justice to be instead standing by them and looking up and up and up to try to see the top of one of those redwoods. They're hundreds of feet tall, and they are, many of them, hundreds and hundreds of years old. One of the things that I found out about the redwoods, though, when I was there, is that they had an incredibly shallow root system. And in fact, one of the reasons why they're able to be so tall is that their roots are actually intermingled with one another. And by doing that, it actually is a way for them to be strong, to be rooted, and to be able to grow as tall as they do. And you know, what you're rooted in, or who you're rooted in, will actually define and determine the rest of your life. Where a plant or where you and I are rooted is how we'll be fed, how we'll be nourished, and actually it will also affect our view of the world as well, and how we see things. And I believe what Paul is speaking to us today in your lesson in Colossians 2 in your bulletin, and I invite you to look along with me as we look at that here today, is he's encouraging us to remain rooted in the freeing presence of Jesus Christ. In the first verse there, he shares, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, overflowing with thankfulness. So there's three key terms there. One of them is, first of all, of course, being rooted in Jesus Christ. Paul continues to encourage the church in Colossae to be rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. He realizes, as an apostle and as someone who's trying to further the relationship with Jesus Christ, that they can be rooted in a lot of different things. They can be torn in a lot of different ways, but it's incredibly important for them overall to be rooted, to be planted firmly, to receive nourishment, to receive their view of the world from being rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. He also encourages them to be strengthened in their faith. Have any of you ever seen Jesus? I never have. I mean, we can talk about seeing him in other people and other events, and I understand that, but actually, literally seeing him, we never have. And in fact, you may remember Jesus' time in the upper room with the disciples where there was that time with doubting Thomas. And the Lord invited him to put his hands in his scars and to put his hand in his side and to no longer be doubting but believe. And he went on to say, blessed are those who have not seen, that would be you and me, and have believed. And so the reality of faith in our journey is incredibly important. You know, to be a Christian is to be constantly invited each and every day, more and more, to believe in something and someone that you've never seen. It's to constantly have faith that God is with you, even in the most difficult and trying circumstances. It is to have a faith that in the midst of trial and tribulation, instead of being destroyed, is actually by the grace of God being strengthened and encouraged and lifted up by his grace. And so a strengthening faith is very important. Finally, he talks about the quality of having an overflowing thankfulness. Does thankfulness characterize your life? Did you wake up this morning as Mr. or Mrs. Grumpy by chance? And maybe that's how you kind of wake up each morning. You kind of wake up and you're looking at the glass as half empty rather than half full. And the reality for the believer, I think, as we grow more rooted in Jesus Christ and more rooted in our faith, is that we will become more connected to an attitude of thankfulness. Does that mean everything is going great all the time? No. Does that mean there will never be any struggles anymore? Of course not. But overall, in the depth of our spirit, there will be an attitude of gratitude. I love that. I love that phrase. Can you say it after me? Attitude of gratitude. Love it. Overall, there will be an attitude of gratitude that will flow from the depth of your spirit as true as anything else. There will be an overflowing well of thankfulness. And I believe one of the reasons why you and I can walk in that kind of spirit is when we're tapped into the Holy Spirit, we're tapped into the things of God. Guess what is going on in heaven right now? They're not worried about what's going on earth. They're not saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about that? Look what they're doing right now. I have no idea what I'm going to do. God's not saying that. God's not fretting. God is on the throne. And what is happening around his throne is an overflow of thankfulness, an overflow of praise and worship of Almighty God. This brief time that we share in this sanctuary of about an hour and 15 minutes can be a taste of heaven, a taste of the thankfulness and the worship and the praise that is going on 24/7 around the throne of God. Paul goes on to share, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. And so what Paul, again, continues to counter is what's called the Colossian heresy. And the Colossian heresy taught that in order to have salvation, one needed to combine faith in Christ with some kind of secret knowledge. And human regulations concerning such physical and external practices as circumcision, eating and drinking, and observance of religious festivals. Gnosticism, the law, astral powers, angel worship, food and drink taboos. You can only eat and drink on certain days. You had to worship angels if you were really going to access the mysteries of the heavens. You had to have this secret knowledge that only the Gnostics taught if you really wanted to have intimacy with God. And what Paul is simply saying to the Colossians, and what Paul is powerfully saying to you and me here today again in this church, is that anyone who is living in that kind of relationship with Christ, where it is what I call a Christ plus faith, is shackled. You've been taken captive. You're a prisoner. You have abandoned the freedom that you once had in Jesus Christ. And he's encouraging them and he's encouraging you and me not to do that. That Christ plus faith is an imprisonment. For you and me, it might seem like a freedom, but it is anything but that. So why is it that the church in Colossae, and why is it that people to this day are always looking for someone or something else to add to Jesus Christ? It's an honest question. Why do we keep doing that? Why do you have to observe all these different little practices? Why do you have to obey all these other different rules in order to be right with God? Well, on one level, probably somebody taught you that, I imagine. Maybe you want to get a little bit more of an in with God just to make sure everything is going to be okay and you're going to make it to the pearly gates. Maybe you just have a feeling that you need to have your own energy into this, and in some way you need to earn your own salvation. But that is not true. What Paul is saying is that this is a heresy, that Christ plus faith imprisons you and shackles you, and that Christ came that we might be completely set free. It says in the Word of God that when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed, completely free. Are you in bondage to anything? Then you're still shackled. And my prayer for you, as it is for me, is that we would be set free. How are we set free in Christ? Go on through the rest of that verse in your text there. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And so again, Paul is talking about this reality to the Colossians and you and me, that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God dwells. All the completeness of deity dwells in him. And we see it in the gospel today, don't we? I mean, I would have loved to have been there to just kind of walk along and see all those people getting up, healed miraculously, seeing Jesus compassionately teach the people as he's exhausted, seeing the Spirit of God move through him, and having a sense of being in the very presence of God. And that's what Paul says. In him is the fullness of deity. So why do you go anywhere else? That's what Paul's saying. You don't need angels. You don't need the law that's been nailed to the cross. You don't need anything else but Jesus, because everything that you need is found in him. It says in there as well in Colossians that he's nailed the law, the written code, to the cross, and that your sins have been forgiven, that you've been made alive through the person of Jesus Christ. You know what the problem is for many of us and for the world? It's just too easy. Right? It's just too easy. We got to make it more complicated. We got to add something to it or to him. But you don't. You don't need to do that. Because the more that you do that, the more you move back into the bondage that once was yours. You know, the faith I grew up in, and I won't name that at this time, the faith that I grew up in, there were a lot of rules and regulations. At least that's what I received. And I also had a feeling that, you know, God was out to get me. I mean, that was just the feeling I got. As I listened to the priest talk and as I heard about God, I just had that feeling. And imagine my horror as a young kid when the priest then told me that God was everywhere and God knew everything. I was really done. I mean, it was over for me as a kid at that point. I mean, really, it was really a rough situation for me in my relationship with God. But, you know, over time, I began to understand that, yes, God is a God of justice, that, yes, God is holy and calling us to follow him with all of our heart. But at the same time, imagine my surprise when I discovered that God actually loved me. Imagine that. That was a big surprise for me, that God loved me. That God wanted to have a relationship with me, that God wanted to fill me with his Holy Spirit, that God wanted to heal me and my family and every human being that would be open to his grace and his presence. And from that moment on, when I was a teenager, that's when that happened for me, my life was never, ever the same. And what began to happen for me was a journey into freedom. I'm convinced the closer that you and I come to Jesus Christ, the more and more free we will become. If as you follow this journey, you are feeling more shackled and more burdened and more imprisoned, you need to come see me because you're on the wrong journey. You're heading down the wrong road. What does freedom look like? Freedom. Smiling. You can smile. I want to see you smile. I did this last night at 5 o'clock. It was good. You can smile in church. When I was growing up as a kid in the church I grew up in, I would never smile in church. I was afraid. Forget that. Look straight ahead. Don't look behind you. And hope everything goes good during the service. You can smile. You can be free enough to do that. You can have a sense of thankfulness and worship before God. You know, recently I'll share something. I bought, this might not seem big to you. For me, it was big. General firm, it's big. I was always pretty much a standard color guy. I mean, I just would go with one color. But recently I bought multicolored pants. They're shorts. Now again, that might not seem like much for you, but for me, it was a huge step. It's like I was at Kohl's and I said, I don't know, Joe, this is not you. This is really not you. And you really shouldn't do that. And my spirit was saying, oh, come on, Joe, come on, let's have a little fun, let's have a little play. And I'm wearing those things now. It's like Mike and his red Converse tennis shoes. I love those things. And so you see, the more we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, the more he is setting us free. If we will only follow him into freedom, if we'll only be open to the freedom he wants to give us, that freedom where you'll walk into the hospital room and you'll say, you know what, I'm feeling like the Spirit's moving me to pray for this person for healing, but I've never done anything so crazy before. And what happens if they aren't healed? Well, it's not on you. God heals, not you. You don't have to worry about it. It's about God. It's not about you. And then you make the step of reaching out and touching that person and praying for them and blessing them and asking God to touch them in a healing and loving way. And you will hear later on from them in some way, shape, or form how much that meant to them. You feel the spirit of what I'm talking about. You feel the liberty of what I'm talking about. Jesus came to set the captives free, Isaiah 61. He didn't come to put you in another prison. There might be priests and bishops and deacons and churches and other people of God that want to put you in a prison. There might be other empty philosophies and other goals and other taboos about this and that, and don't eat this and that, and you got to do this and that in order to get close to God. It's a prison. Get away from it. Embrace the freedom that is uniquely yours in Jesus Christ, that you might dance before him, that you might be free and full of joy, that you actually might be walking in the fruits of the Spirit. Imagine that. Love, joy, peace. Joy is number two. Joy is number two. I think another reason why we get tired of Jesus is because we don't put forth the effort to really get to know him. Isn't it amazing that at the heart of the universe, there are not many ways to God, but rather, according to the Word of God, the way to God is through Jesus. And what that speaks to me is that what God wants more from you and I than anything else is a very intimate, a very deep, a very knowing, a very powerful, a very life-transforming, a very connecting, an ongoing, eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, think about the person you're married to. Think about a close friend. Think about somebody you're getting to know. Do you know everything about them? No. Will you ever know everything about them? Probably not. But that's part of the journey, isn't it? Some of the things I love finding out, some of them I wish I never knew. But with Jesus, we can keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. In Grace Awakening, Charles Swindoll shares, a war had been fought, one of the bloodiest in our history. A president had been assassinated. An amendment to the Constitution had been signed into the law. Once enslaved men, women, and children were now legally emancipated. Yet amazingly, many continued to live in fear and squalor as though it had never happened. In a context of hard-earned freedom, slaves chose to remain as slaves. A historical fact for decade after decade after decade. And my question to you and me here this morning is, do you want slavery or freedom? As Christians, many of us are still living in a slave mentality. We're still living in a slave mentality toward the Lord God Almighty, as if our salvation and our sanctification depended on us. Oh, yes, we have choices to make. Oh, yes, there is a call to holiness. But let me say to you, more than anything else, there is an incredible call to freedom. There is an incredible call to joy. There is an incredible call to love that we will experience more and more each and every day of our lives, all the way into eternity itself. Do you want slavery or freedom? It's a very important question that I ask you here today. And please pray for me as I pray for you, that whoever or whatever is shackling you, that you would be set free. Put your